when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Before we start today's show, a quick thank you to our sponsors, House of Merkins, your one-stop shop for intimate toupees. Visit http://www.houseofmerkins.com today. Hello, pod people, and welcome back to another episode of Classic Ads from Simpler Times, where this week, I'm afraid you're going to have to indulge us in another BBH, John Hegarty fan club swoon type thing. We decided to give BBH a swerve until recent events made a review of this ad pertinent, so put away the wobbly lips and let's jog on, shall we? Buy a ticket to this week's Fun Bus, and you'll be part of the discussion about what Levi's want in their ads, where we discover that, unsurprisingly, it's America and arse shots in that order. Tones mines a rich vein of personal experience to talk about casting bum doubles before revealing a hitherto undiscovered ability to be discreet. There's a bit of chit-chat about rodent eating as a PR strategy. So, join myself, Steve Cook, and award-winning advertising creative and TV commercial director Tony Williams, as we toddle off to 1985, where Tony's watching Grange Hill, desperately trying to make sure he doesn't catch girl germs and BMXing with his mates, whilst I'm discovering fashion and loose underwear in between hangovers. More importantly, Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher are installing nuclear weapons in Berkshire, and this forces the agency of the decade to hire a pretty boy, take him back to the 1960s, and then force him to act in a softcore porn movie for teenage girls, in the process creating an ad so successful that the client demands that it's taken off air. Have a listen as we review the only ad ever to feature as talent a man who turned down Kate Moss for that bird that worked with Terry Christian on The Word. And remember, if you're ever cooking alphabetti spaghetti, never leave it unattended. That could spell disaster.
Bit of a shame that the Chinese rocket didn't land anywhere.
No, people going, oh, the humanity!
How rude is that, though? Don't you think it's a bit rude?
What?
You know, like the Chinese, they launch a rocket and they don't have the capability to actually, you know, bring it back. And they're like, oh, no, don't worry, I'll only land in the Philippines.
No, no, what are you, be fan, huh?
They probably wanted to land in Taiwan.
1985. Where were you in 1985?
The year was 1985. How old was I? 1985, I was 13. I was, where was I? I was right inside the den at the top of the road, the BMX. I was going down the BMX tracks. I was listening to Adamant. I was on my roller skates with four wheels, orange wheels, with a vest, a grey from the Army and Navy store, a green mesh vest, and a Walkman, which wasn't a real Walkman. It was like an Awai, whatever, you know, fakey brand, with orange sponge headband on my roller skates, thinking I was the Dogs Bollocks going down over the cracks and, you know, English pavement on my roller skate, thinking I was in Footloose. It was a year after we went to London on a school trip and Neil Kimber.
Only you could aspire to be in the movie Footloose. It's the fucking best movie ever.
And Neil Kimber got done for shoplifting in Harrods, nicked a pencil, not happy.
Really?
Yeah. So I remember that walk of shame back onto the bus.
What's the rigmarole if you get caught shopping in Harrods? Did you get stopped at the door? what? Or did,
I don't know. The teacher disappeared for a while and came back, and everyone said, oh, Neil Kimmel's been busting, nicking stuff.
1985, Britain and France announced plans to build the Channel Tunnel.
We will have a tunnel, probably from Assad.
I should say, actually, welcome back to Classic Ads from Simpler Times.
Why?
To both our listeners. I was going to try and work in a gag about the French end of the Channel Tunnel.
Oh, sorry,
going backwards or something. I'd say that's as far as I got. Here's the key piece of information that you need to know from 1985. I'll ask you a question first. What is the best headline ever written for the Sun newspaper?
Oh, God. Take your pick. I don't know.
The Sun newspaper alleged in 1985 that Freddie Starr ate a hamster.
Jeremo!
Yeah.
Did he not?
Tickets for his tour have been selling quite slowly. And his PR agent was... Do you remember Max Clifford?
I do.
So his PR agent was Max Clifford. And Max Clifford came up with this idea that they would say that Freddie Starr ate hamster.
Do you know Max Clifford was also the agent of...
Was he really?
I think he was at the base of Yew Tree shaking it. Yeah.
Okay. So apparently after this article, Freddie Starr ate my hamster, ran in the Sun, the publicity led them... They had to add another 12 dates to Freddie Starr's tour, and it generated an additional £1 million worth of revenue.
So it was all just a bunch of nonsense. It was actually a guinea pig.
A load of rubbish. This isn't quite as famous, but when Freddie Starr died, the Sun's headline was, Freddie Starr joins his hamster.
Oh.
The highest audience of all time for a British television drama.
Oh, don't.
No, it's not. Was on Christmas Day of 1985, the episode of EastEnders.
Oh, yeah.
Where Dirty Den.
Oh, yeah.
Serves the divorce.
Show. With Anita Baker.
Served the divorce papers on his wife, Angie.
Anyone can fall in love. She sang the song, the lyrics. My sister was going out with a guy from that when it first started. It was
EastEnders?
Yeah. It was
Who was it?
Scottish guy called Ross. It was early on. He was a doctor in it. I think he got killed or something. But yeah, he used to come around to the house.
Oh,
yeah.
I think, was he like the yuppie? Was he the resident yuppie in the square? I think I remember.
It was Scottish, so it couldn't have been too posh.
The actor in question is Ross Davidson, who did indeed play Nurse, not Doctor, Andy O'Brien, as part of the original cast of EastEnders. Davidson had the distinction of being the first character to be killed off. Between him and Jennifer Love Hewitt, it would appear that the Williams family have a bit of form in the celebrity shagging department. So Dirty Den served divorce papers on Angie after discovering that she had previously feigned a terminal illness to try to stop him from leaving her.
Oh.
So it's just like real life, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many people do you think watched the telly? That episode? Single episode.
I would say 17.9 million.
30 million viewers.
Well, no, sorry, that was, I was going to say twice, doubled. But for the first half, and then a cup of tea. No cup of tea, it was BBC, wasn't it?
30 million people. The only thing that 30 million people will tune in to now is the football, isn't it, probably?
Probably not at the same time.
I think I should have looked it up.
But there's a sound ident for you. We were talking about that. Dun, 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 dun. Do you remember the song that Anita Baker sang on top of it? She put lyrics to the theme tune.
Somebody once said that ident, that doom, 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 was Susan Boyle falling down fire stairs. Which is a bit harsh, isn't it? 1985, new shows on the telly. Have I been saying 1986 all this time?
No, you've been saying 1985.
It's 1985. New shows on the TV, Lovejoy.
Oh, yeah, like that. What's it, his little mate? It looked like a little, like Pigsy.
Yeah, he looked kind of gnome.
Yeah, Pigsy. Yeah. That was good. I like Lovejoy.
Casualty.
I never watched it. Comes out hospitals.
Yes, Prime Minister.
Nah, too intellectual.
Your personal favourite, Boone.
Ken Boone. All right, Ken, what you going to do? No, I'm going to get on your boy. Come on, then. I'm going to leave the show anyway. I'm going to be, like, speaking to Postman Pat.
Who's the best Postman Pat?
You don't know him yet. Always mate Bob.
Do you remember Beadles About?
Beadles About? Oh, with a little hand. Hey, today, Cheryl's going to give her boyfriend, Mark, a real surprise. We put them in a restaurant. He doesn't know what's going on. Let's look.
Oh, we got some tips with them. Oh, no, can we just go home and play it? No, we're staying around.
Whilst we got the back, I'm going to be at work when hidden in this tent. Look what's going to happen. Mark's going to go crazy. And the truck backs up. There's no way he's going to figure it. Here they come. They're leaving.
Oh, this is pretty shitty. Can we have them now?
Oh, so what's that? Oh, look, Mark. Someone's blocked us in.
Oh, yeah. We have to hang around.
Oh, no, they've blocked us in. Aren't you angry?
No, not really. Not really.
Hello, Mark. It's Beadle. Yes, that's right. Beadle's about. He was on
Richard Branson.
What's it called?
What's he on? What's he on?
Yeah, yeah,
that's life.
That's life. Yeah.
Feels like we're having a torrid time of it with the trivia in this one. Jeremy Beadle was the frontman for a slew of TV shows, most famously Game for a Laugh, Beadle's About, and You've Been Framed. He also worked as a presenter for late night radio with LBC, chaired a quiz show on Radio 4, wrote cartoons for the Daily Express, wrote a quiz every Saturday for the Independent newspaper, appeared occasionally in Dictionary Corner on Countdown, and was a ringmaster for Jerry Cottle's Circus. What he didn't do was appear in That's Life.
Beatles About's a bit different to the one that I was reading about. In apparently, they have a show in Palestine, which is on the same principle, but they're being sued by a celebrity who, as part of the show, they subjected him to a fake kidnapping and then took him to an area of wasteland somewhere in Gaza, made him kneel and put a blindfold on him.
That's Middle Eastern humour for you.
Pretended that they were about to execute him. The poor bloke wet himself with fear.
And it was Action Man.
And then they take the thing off and
surprise,
kind of
go, surprise, surprise.
Awesome. Anyway, so you've got Lovejoy Casualty, Yes, Prime Minister, Boom, and Beatles About. They were all new. But you've also, also been watching Howard's Way. Do you remember Howard's Way?
Oh, yes, the Isle of Wight, the rich people with the grey hair, Howard's Way.
Bob's Full House.
Bob. That's all I know about Bob. Milkhouse.
Brookside.
Never fucking watched that.
Hey.
Don't speak North.
Blockbusters.
I'll have a P, please, Bob.
I'll have an E, please, Bob.
Gold Rush.
Highway.
Is that lunchtime?
Highway was, from my memory,
it was Scottish television or something.
No, it was a nightmare. It was Sunday evening at 6:30.
Oh, it wasn't
Harry Secombe,
that's right.
Yes, it's all sing now.
And basically, you knew the weekend was ending.
Yeah, Shitsville.
It was grinding to a halt.
Fucking Shaftesbury Church somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And Harry Secombe's wandering around like a big tub of lard, singing something in a Welsh accent, really annoying.
That's right, yeah.
And you knew that you had to go back to school or work the next
that's
day.
That's right.
Really gave you the shit.
That's like Songs of Praise. But it was his break-off, it's his spin-off. Like Highway Harry.
It's like Songs of Praise, but with additional charisma.
Yeah.
In a big church, lots of people here, sounded off. I look good, I'm a bit fascinating. Brilliant idea, put me on the screen.
Talking about how the weekend ended badly with Harry Secombe, it always began well with The Tube on Friday night.
Oh, was that Jules Holland?
Yeah.
I never watched it was a bit too old for me.
Oh, of course.
I didn't really like Jules Holland. He got me in the wing.
I was the perfect age for that. Go out and get hammered on a Friday night, come back and watch The Tube.
Is that one with that guy who's like really squeaky nerve voice?
What was he called? Terry.
Yeah.
We'll have a listener right into that. So you could watch The Tube. Hello, Hello was on.
Hello, Hello. I should only see this once. Wait, this TV show is crap.
Did you listen to last week's episode?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Sorry. Why?
Because there's a massive reference to Al Olo in last week's episode.
Is there?
Yes. To the Kit Kat.
Yeah.
And we both said, we ought to know that bloke.
Yeah.
And we both went, yeah, no. And it turns out that it's Captain Alberto Bertarelli from Al Olo.
Of course it is.
Anyway, so the Tube, Al Olo, Bergerac. Remember Bergerac?
John Nettles.
Yep.
I met John Nettles.
Terry and June.
Welcome them all. Terry and June.
When did you meet John Nettles? Sorry,
He gave some motocross trophies out 1 year.
So when you say met him?
Well, yeah, he was in a function.
It's like you didn't go for a beer and have a yarn.
Not what I
was. Basically, it gave you a plastic.
12.
It gave you a plastic cup.
He gave me about, I was going to say 6 inches of cord. No, it's like a big. Big gold trophy like that.
It was John Nettles, not Jimmy Savile.
No, yeah, I don't know. Stung like a nettle. But yeah, it was, yeah. Bergerac. Bergerac's good. Doo-doo-doo. No, that's Sweeney.
Terry and June.
I like them.
Grange Hill.
Oh, wow. Ba 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 ba. Zamo, he's chasing the dragon. Roland.
That would have been right.
Or
slap bang in your. So if you were 13.
Yeah.
It was essentially a soap opera for teenagers.
Brilliant, Jack Grangehill. Roland, a big chumpster. And the guy, Mark, actually, out of that, was the one that went to Orchill in EastEnders, wasn't he? That's what he had to say, Orchill.
Grangehill, That's Life was still on, which you mentioned earlier.
Chubsworth.
Last of the Summer Wine was on.
Nora Batty.
Rainbow.
Up above the trees and houses, rainbows climbing high. Up above the and paint the whole world with a rainbow.
Jeffrey,
are you playing with your twanger?
Oh no.
Jeffrey, they're playing with their twanger.
Oh no. The Two Ronnies. Goes on. Do you remember that?
Fork handles. You want fork handles? What's the end of fork handles?
Fork handles.
Five, yeah, very good. But I found it was a bit, I never really got into them.
13, I'm not surprised really. Mr. and Mrs. was on, you wouldn't have watched
that. Mr. and Mrs.
Shot
in Birmingham, yeah.
Love one another.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So it's like, okay, Jeff's gone. He's in the listen to the booth now, listen to the music. Can you hear us, Jeff? So we asked Jeff the last time where you both had sex.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. He goes, go on, say it. I'm not saying that. No, where was it? Where was it?
All right, yes. Right. That's right. She says kitchen. It was in the kitchen.
That's yeah. right. And he says, oh, yeah. No, babies. Jack and Ori was on.
Jack and Ori, tell a story. Jack and Ori.
There was something like that.
Random celebrities reading books for children. You were probably had no interest at all in the old grey whistle test. The old grey whistle test was on BBC Two. It was the music programme before The Tube.
Yeah, that was well intellectual.
It was. So Whispering Bob Harris.
Who was Whispering Bob Harris?
He was the presenter.
In black and white.
Finally, in 1985, you could still watch Louis Theroux's favourite television programme.
Hello, I'm Louis Theroux.
Which was?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Jim Will Fix It.
Of course it was. Yeah. Remember the Christmas Mega Mix? Jim Will Fix It, Jack and Ori. Now I can't sit on my pants. I'm a dummy. Sorry. Dear.
Okie dokie. Today's advert that we're going to look at is for Levi's. We've already done the Levi's advert, so typically we would have left this alone, except that the star of this commercial died recently.
He did.
Who was he, Tones?
Nick Kamen. If you don't know his name, you would definitely know his arse. And his face, one of the best looking blokes in the world, probably.
I didn't realise what a phenomenon Nick Kamen was after this advert. He was kind of he was kind of around and about as a model.
Well, he was a model, yeah.
He was a model before the ad. Them,
yeah.
But after the ad, this guy, what a life he had.
Do you want to take us through the ad?
Shall I tell you that boom, the ad? Boom, boom, so boom. we're doing today's episode as not kind of a tribute, but because it's relevant that poor old Nick came and died of bone cancer very recently, only 59 years of age. Really nice guy, apparently.
Mm.
The ad is iconic, in my opinion.
Mm.
It did win a Gold Lion at Cannes.
So it should.
1986. And it's my favourite agency of all time, BBH again. And the art director on the job was John Hegarty.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's a writer, was he not?
He's quoted as the art director on this job.
I think they can do it all down.
And they've got the copywriter as a lady called Barbara Noakes, who is actually very, very famous.
Sounds like his babysitter.
Barbara Noakes broke a lot of glass ceilings in the advertising world.
Did she?
She came up with the line Vorsprung durch technique for Audi.
Mm.
Apparently she came up with the line after visiting an Audi factory and seeing an old workshop, and it was there was a sign above the door. Anyway, so John Hegarty and Barbara Noakes, the account director, because we never quote the suit because they never get a look in, was a guy called Tim Lindsay.
Mm.
And the director was, I've never heard of him, a guy called Roger Lyons.
Roger Lyons.
Mm. Mm. Who died at the age of 41 after falling off a cliff whilst trying to create the perfect shot in a film.
Not for a milk tray ad, was it?
That's dedication for you.
What was the film?
I don't know.
Well, not really dedication.
Well, it was going
to... Didn't follow through to finish. Who did the post? Sorry, to lower the tone.
And the talent was Nick Kamen.
Nick Kamen, yeah. So that ad, it was everybody knows it because it was a bit racy, wasn't it? And it was probably, to be honest, around the same sort of time, and this might be a sweeping statement, but it's true, boxer shorts. And this is a little bit of a private aside for the director's cut. My friend Ada Herbert, my mum said, hey, I got you these. And she lifted up these boxer shorts. They had all holly berries all over.
So I'm wearing them.
So, you know, I don't know why, because you're not. But that's the first pair of boxer shorts. And from then on, I've been a free man. And so he was wearing those, like the US, like white boxers, right? So
yes.
It was only, it was probably equivalent to a pair of soccer shorts, really. But it's just the fact the old ladies, and he was, derobing to wash his clothes out. He sat down with the newspaper.
So originally they wanted him to do it in a pair of jockey shorts, essentially a pair of Y fronts.
Yeah.
And the Advertising Standards Authority went, oh, you're not putting that package on TV.
No.
So they had to go, they put him in boxer shorts.
Yeah.
And then Levi's developed a line of boxer shorts after the commercial because boxer shorts became popular. And they sold a million pairs of boxer shorts in 12 months after it.
Well,
after showing the ad. And I can remember vividly buying my first pair of boxer shorts after seeing
what did they have on the Doll Duck?
They were from Marks and Spencer's. They were just bog standard, you know, plain colours.
Mm. And they've messed it all up now with the semi-brief boxes. So the cotton boxes, nothing feels like it.
I mean, that's it. As I've got older, I do prefer a bit of structure.
But it's supposed to be where you need it, don't you, really? Like a splint. Lollipop stick and some sellotape. You should borrow Freddy Starr's. All right.
So it's supposed to be America anyway, so it needs to look American,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, do you remember the song?
Hang on, so...
Oh, sorry.
I'll give you a bit more. I wanted to tell you this about... This gave you an indication of how Nick Kamen's career took off. A bit of trivia about the casting. Do you remember a woman called Sarah Dukas? She was at the Storm Talent Agency. She was quite famous in
Storm was where Jodie. What was her name? Jodie Foster.
Yeah. So she sent Nick Kamen for the casting for the job, and she became the woman who would discover Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. But he got the job on the condition that he lost weight.
Uh huh.
So apparently they thought he was a bit chubs.
Really?
Yeah. So after he did the commercial. Apparently, he was Kate Moss's unrequited crush. There's a quote on the internet that says, this is Kate Moss. I wanted to marry him for years, she said, but he's always been with that fucking cow. What's her name?
That's about right.
What's her name was Amanda de Cadenet.
Who was off The Word. That's the one I was thinking about tonight with Terry Richardson.
Terry Christian.
There you go. My beginning, we've gone all the way around.
It all comes together, isn't it?
Amanda de Cadenet, yeah.
I thought it was a lovely quote. I wanted to marry him for years, but he's always been with that fucking cow. What's her name?
So I'll go with the bloke, the junkie from Bojangles, what it's called.
Oh, the Libertines.
Who's now a big ball of fat.
Is he?
Yeah. Anyway.
What's her name? Amanda de Cadenet.
She was gorgeous. She was what would they call today? A thick boned girl, wasn't she?
Don't remember that. I remember her being very tall and skinny, but also a bit posh.
Yeah, like bleached hair. Yeah, it's a bit like
bleached blonde hair. Yeah.
I think my friend Dan.
I actually did a quick look up on the interweb, and Amanda,
she's related
still
to somebody.
Looks very, very, very.
Okay, easy target. Do you want that lollipop stick?
There you go. Nick came and so they made two ads. They made two ads simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Can you remember the other one?
The other one was bath.
Good on you.
Shrink to fit.
Boy in the bath.
Yeah.
For shrink to fit. Exactly.
That was the ad that really turned me onto Motown.
Right.
So I remember walking up to Woolworths. To Link Top's Long Walk, we didn't even think about those are the days. Probably a 45-minute walk. Yeah, you met your mate, you arranged to meet him at 10:30, you were there at 10:30. You know, no mobile phones.
Can't make it late.
All right. And I went to Woolies and I bought this beautiful 12-inch vinyl, and it had just a picture of the guy overhead, shot of him in the bath with his jeans on.
Right.
And it was Sam Cooke, What a Wonderful World.
Don't know much about history.
Don't know much about biology.
Don't know much about the French I took.
Don't know much about.
But I do know that I love you.
I do know what one is two. And what a wonderful world. Yeah.
And I know that
he wrote that for his teenage sweetheart at school.
Did he really?
Yes. It's been covered by Art Garfunkel and all these different people. That's
a lot of people.
Yeah.
So the Boy in the Bath advert, you're right, featured the track Wonderful by Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Nick Kamen was originally cast as the Boy in the Bath.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because he was
They shot the ads virtually back to back, and the Mr. Lyons, Roger Lyons, directed them both.
Really?
And Roger Lyons and John Hegarty had an argument because John Hegarty thought that Nick Kamen would be better in the in the laundrette ad.
John Hegarty, of course he did. Yeah.
Roger Lyons thought that he should stay in the Boy in the Bath ad. They had a blazing row, and John Hegarty basically told him who was right in his check. And so Nick Kamen was in the Boy in the Bath.
No, it wasn't the Boy in the Bath. Yeah. The thing is about the shot in the bath, it's such an unusual visual.
Yeah.
It's just about what's happening. So if you had Pretty Boy in there as well, it'd be too much. But it's the look that Nick Kamen gives in the laundrette over the top of the machines. I mean, it's a really incredibly good looking look.
The guy in the Boy in the Bath ad is actually a very, very handsome young man.
But he's a soldier. He's forgettable.
He doesn't have Nick Kamen's that look that Nick Kamen had.
But that's mainly if you had too much, it just becomes a weird film then. Like someone's in the bath wearing jeans and, you know.
Let me give you a bit more. I'll give you the rest of my trivia about the ad and then I'm going to ask you to take us through it. So the music in Laundrette is Marvin Gaye's.
Heard it through the grapevine.
But they couldn't afford the license fee for the Marvin Gaye version.
Mm.
So it's done by a bunch of session musicians.
Because I think at the end there's only a bit of a... song, because there's not the full lyrics in there.
A bunch of, but then Marvin Gaye did actually re-release it, and it got to number 8 in the UK top 10.
It went to, because the highest it got before, don't quote me, but something like it was 27th in the UK.
The interesting thing about that song, guys, that originally it was sung by Gladys Knight and the Pips, and it didn't actually do that well. It didn't do that well until he released it, and then it did quite well. And then they re-released it for this one. It's made, you know.
But I know that labels were reintroducing the music because they weren't that successful the first time around. I think that one or the other song went to number 2 in the UK charts. Mm. And it actually rejuvenated the whole industry. For Motown.
I mean, BBH basically were the first, from what I can understand, were the first agency to do the crossover between the music and the ad. And apparently they had 7 singles in the top 10 from Levi's ads over a period of 4 years. So, and they were deliberately choosing tracks that they thought would have crossover.
But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you don't really think about it, I suppose. Before, it was all about jingles and the ad and, yeah, that's quite a decent song. But yeah, they really did.
Look, I would be prepared to mount a case to say that I Heard It Through the Grapevine is second only to the Shake and Vac song as the most as the most famous song in advertising history.
Oh, with like an MTV battle. Marvin Gaye versus, what's the name of the
Jenny Logan.
Yeah.
And now a word from our sponsors. It's time. You know it's time. It's sale time at House of Merkins, and the intimate toupee you've always wanted is now within your reach. Yes, bring the whole family down to House of Merkins for huge discounts on Australia's premier providers of intimate lampstand rugs and kitty carpets. We've dropped our dacks, and you're the winner with massive discounts on our 1970s homage, the full Kate Bush. Rock bottom prices on the best-selling Twinkle Twinkle in a range of realistic colours, and of course, we're serving up huge savings on the ever-popular Minch 2 with state-of-the-art flesh-coloured elastic supports and full Gore-Tex lining. We know it's a bold statement, but you really can't get better than House of Merkins, best-selling range of intimate toupees. So if it's premium soft furnishings you're after, find us online at http://www.houseofmerkins/intimate-toupees/going-down.htm. Or call House of Merkins today on 1-800-646-437. House of Merkins, because your map of Tassie deserves the best.
And try and control yourself when I tell you that the ad came at number 6 in Channel 4's list of the top 100 greatest ads ever.
But the soundtrack came in, I think, as 15th in Channel 4's.
Really?
Yes, because I looked at it just before.
And the ad was a weird length as well. It's a 50-second ad. Is that weird or is that just me?
50 seconds, no, it is. Yeah, it's unusual.
Very strange.
Perhaps it launched in cinema because it certainly didn't go on YouTube.
It did go on a short run on the TV. There was a bit of press work, but it was mostly in the Face magazine.
Because the Face, I used to love that. So also, I can't remember now that Nick Kamen had in the laundrette. Does it show the little red Levi's tab?
So let's get on to that later on. Do you want to take us through the ad, please?
Well, have you got it there? I mean, I don't want it to be
Mandela.
And it's something else than how I remember. I just remember him going into. Okay.
Do you want me to play it for you?
Would you mind? Just to,
let's do it.
Pause recording now. Fix it in post.
Here we are, fixing it in post. Have a listen and then drop on over to the YouTube channel for a watch. The link's in the usual place.
Nick Kamen, he goes into a US laundrette. We know it's America because there's a US soldier outside. And it's graded beautifully. It's warm. It's like the smoke. It's hazy. There's women in there with the real iconic sort of 60s glasses, you know, the wacky ones, sunglasses and the beehives. He chooses his machine. Doesn't seem to go and get coins anywhere. And he takes the magazine out of his back pocket when we see a little Levi's tab. A kid sticks his head over the back. blow some bubble gum. And then another one, so he's a twin, and the mum drags him off. And he proceeds to undress and pops his clothes into the laundry, into the washing machine, which is the only time you ever use the word pop. Pop clothes on the side, I believe. And then he grabs his magazine and sits down. But the reactions of people around are really, really good. There's an old lady eating a sandwich, and she sort of, you know, her jaw drops. There's a couple of giggling teenagers, or, you know, 20-somethings, but everyone's out of a bit of a peak. There's a quite provocative shots, actually. I don't know whether you'd get away with it now. Like, the kid's head and his crotch suddenly moves into frame. The buttons, it shows the button fly. It shows the Levi's tab of quality on the back, you know, the leather label. Shows the red tab. It shows all the key points in there. And the rocks, of course. There's a bag of rocks loaded in. So it's got all the things and a lot of detail at the end.
Let's cut to the chase here. This is softcore porn for teenage girls, isn't it?
Well, yeah, probably. And teenage boys, maybe.
So, looking at it, when I look back at it, the first thing that came to mind was that there are a lot of scenes or structured scenes that you would associate with women's lingerie advertising. So the classic one is the one where he undoes the buttons on on the jeans.
Mm.
But then also there's the one where he takes the belt off, which is a close of his arms.
Oh, he whops his twins.
Yeah. And the boy has he's got the body for it, hasn't he? And he's got the face as well.
Mm.
He's a good looking.
Very good looking. He's almost too good looking.
Lad.
Suspiciously good looking.
Anecdotally, teenage girls were going to the movies just in the hope of seeing the ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, days before internet, we had it hard.
And then, I don't know if you probably, maybe you would remember it or not, but there was a massive trend then for girls to wear men's 501s.
Is that right?
And so you would get, and they'd cinch them in tight and the thing and it wasn't really form-fitting.
Yeah.
And that was apparently the genesis of that idea of, you know, boyfriend jeans for girls. So boyfriend jeans are a big thing.
Right.
For girls.
It's like the boyfriend shirt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's apparently where it came from. But I think, you know, it's pretty much, it's about as close to porn as you can get for a teenage.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
A teenage girl on, you know, TV on a Friday night.
Because it shows nothing really.
It's beautifully shot, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Basically, they're trying to create a kind of mythical America, aren't they? 50s and 60s mythical America.
No, I mean, I think that is America. I mean, if you talked about Britain in the 20s with Charleston and Art Deco, but that is America. And so they're always tying back to that. I can't remember, you know, what the seven pillars are of authenticity, originality of the Levi's brand right now. But America is obviously one of them. So in all the ads I shot, it always has an American reference somewhere, somehow.
It's a very strange situation, the product, isn't it? Because in America, that product has always been positioned as a, not cheap, but it's a working man's work clothes.
Yeah.
So they're not expensive, they're not designer. And then you go to the UK and they deliberately built a brand around the fashionability.
Well, no, they can be. I mean, Levi Strauss invented denim, basically, or used denim for the first time with all the rivets. And I know that's the painted rivet thing. But there's so many different cuts. I mean, there are the jeans that, they went from being mechanics wearing dungarees to the ones your dad would wear.
Mm.
And as soon as your dad started wearing them, I know there was a big issue when I think it was Bush was seen walking out of the White House wearing a pair, and suddenly sales went because they're old man.
Jeremy
jeans.
Clarkson was off.
All the different cuts. But there's also the Dockers brand, which is Levi's, which is huge.
Yep.
So they're basically, I think, every American man owns a pair of Dockers chinos, you know?
Yeah.
So it's huge. But, it is a bit more creative, I think, in Europe. It's the same as a lot of denim brands like that, though. They are more sort of edgy and sort of creative and a bit more lifestyle in the US. But it's creating that link back to authenticity. Because, there's brands like Calvin Klein, for example, jeans. At one point, they were sort of seen as quite high-end fashionable jeans. But then they screwed themselves because they sold the license. And then you'd see them for, 10 quid in the bargain basement in Debenhams. Levi's has obviously never done.
Yeah.
John
Hegarty is quoted as saying that when they took the brief from Levi's were very, very keen to keep the creative work centered around that idea of America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently BBH came up with the idea of using that kind of 50s, 60s pastiche because at the time, 1985, America, the president was Ronald Reagan.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was cozying up to Margaret Thatcher.
Mm.
They were positioning cruise missiles at Greenham Common.
Yeah.
Women were throwing in their jobs and leaving their husbands to go and spit American soldiers who were installing nuclear weapons. So they came up with the laundrette. And then they came up with the Nick Cayman character, who's that kind of James.
Is James. He's always going to be the James Dean type character.
Yeah,
James Dean. James Dean and Elvis had a baby.
It'd be Nick Cayman.
Thank you very much. Slow down, right? It would be Nick Cayman, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And Nick And Nick's sat in the laundrette and he's kind of apart, isn't he, from everybody else? He's apart from the dreary lives, yeah, I mean, and the dreary world of all those poor people in the laundrette who can only gawp.
It's a little too thrill, but it makes it every day.
Coolness. We're back to cool, aren't we? How do you build cool into a brand tones?
Don't think we should use the word cool, mate.
Yeah, no, but if you... like, okay, so what's what word would you use if it's not cool?
Relevant. Bra.
In it?
Yeah. Like, we're wicked in it, like, fun. Engaging. I'm just thinking about that sketch that Saturday Night Live got hammered for with Elon Musk about being a bunch of older people trying to do millennial work for Gen Zs. It was apparently voted the worst skit ever. It's exactly what I always say about an ad that you can tell when older people have done it. If it's for kids, it's always got graffiti and a skateboard in. But it was just engaging, I suppose. But interestingly enough, not that you'd ever do it in laundrette, you could, but the in the bath, shrink to fit, that's what they, I think, used to do at some point. I mean, I'm sure you've probably had friends or relatives or whatever around that time trying to squeeze into their tight jeans, right? Mm. But this is obviously the other way around. When I lived in Singapore, it's so desperate sometimes to wear long sleeves. But I used to put my jeans in the fridge in the morning. If you put them in the night before, they'd be soggy, a bit damp. Put them in there, like when you got up, just for like for 50 minutes, an hour, and then you put them on and were super cold. I think they probably did that on the Levi's ad somewhere as well, right? But they're all based on sort of realistic and authentic things. Like, I love the one, the Ring of Fire. You ever seen that? You know, all the cowboys are sitting like, boom, 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 boom. And they're all sitting around the campfire having their beans. And suddenly one jumps back. And then it says, I think in 1896, Levi's removed the crotch rivet. And it's like, and it just says Ring of Fire. They're all based on truth.
Yeah. I it's interesting that you would debate the use of the word cool, because I vividly remember this ad and the bath ad as the first time that I genuinely took notice of advertising.
Oh, facetious. They are cool. Of course they are.
I had never taken, I don't remember taking any notice of advertising.
Well, not many ads that...
So I was 23, so I was slap bang in the target market, 16 to really 16 to sub 28, sub 30. I was 23. And previous to that, I remember having a conversation with my mum when I was about 15 to 16, about whether or not I could have a pair of Levi's.
Because they're expensive,
and,
right?
And she wouldn't let me Wrangler? Have them because they were too expensive.
Yeah, Wrangler or Pepe?
Wrangler. I think I did end up with a pair of Brutus at one
Brutus.
Stage.
Pepe, who's got the key rings?
Pepe. I like Pepe.
All the ones that weren't nicked in the shop.
I had a Pepe jacket. I wanted a Levi's jacket.
With a cartoon strip inside?
Yeah, I wanted a Levi's jacket, but we couldn't afford it. So suddenly I had enough money, and I remember going out and buying a pair of 501s.
And getting arrested when you took them on the laundry.
And then I do remember wearing them for quite a long time and then vowing never to buy another pair.
Why?
501s, to me, have a very characteristic cut, and I just found them really uncomfortable.
It's the cut and the grade of denim as well. Yeah, but then, of course, Jeremy Clarkson with the boot cut ruined it all. There's not many ads that can change yet sort of things in your life. It really did.
It was the first time that I had really thought about what it was that I wore and why I wore it. And looking at that ad, it's really interesting because I would never have looked at an ad purporting to show a mythical 50s and 60s and gone, oh, that's cool. But somehow it's incredibly cool.
Mm.
Incredibly cool. I would never become one of those guys that had a teddy boy haircut or bought
They would show off, right? They'd come bouncing in. But the fact that he's so like casual about it and looks around as everyone say, like, whoa,
I think there was a lot of energy behind starting to get behind kind of youth fashion at that time. And I was probably lucky to be around and about at the time that product was launched. Can you tell me what the product is, by the way?
Link shampoo and stuff. What's that?
What was the product for the ad?
It was 501, wasn't it?
Yeah. But what was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Stonewashed.
Oh, stone, of course, because the stones are in the washroom. Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think part of the coolness for me was the idea that some people would take jeans so seriously. And also, you know, the guy in the bath. I had never done that. I'd never taken clothing that seriously.
Mm.
But people would take their clothing so seriously.
That's what I did,
and I believe that people like Nick Kamen or you know, American people would take pebbles to the laundry.
Well, I don't know whether they actually did it, but obviously Levi's did. So it's really a way of showing how it was the manufacturing process. So, I know people were, you know, getting in baths and lying on the back trying to, you know, get to tight jeans, but the shrink to fit one, I don't know whether it literally worked. But
so I don't know whether people were stonewashing their jeans with pebbles and then Levi's kind of went, oh, what we should do is do some that
stonewashing.
Or whether or not, you know, which came first.
It depends on how many stones you got in there, what size they are, whether it looks like you come from Europe, the final countdown, or whether they just soften up. There's different ways of doing it and how long they go in there for.
This advert worked, didn't it?
It did. So Nick Kamen went on to have a hit single mid.
which he wrote with
Madonna.
And it was called, what was it?
You Break My Heart. Each Time You Break My Heart.
Each Time.
I wasn't interested in Nick.
Each Time. Yeah.
I was interested in girls who wore Levi's 501s, yeah. I'm telling you then. Sales of Levi's 501s went up 800%.
Wow.
In the aftermath of that ad. Levi's had to take the ad off the air at one stage because they couldn't keep up with demand.
That's amazing.
That's
happened a few times.
And BBH obviously went on to do a whole range of these ads. By 1987, so 2 years later.
What other ones did they do in that line? So there was something where they put in the fridge, wasn't there?
I can't remember.
But there was the one you like, the swimming pools. Let's Hear It for the Boy, yeah. Shot by Jonathan Glazer. And that's the same sort of thing, right?
And then it was...
Let's Hear It for the Boy.
No, I'm mad about the boy.
The song Mad About the Boy, used in BBH's 1992 Levi's swimmer ad, was written by Noel Coward in 1932 as a gay man's homage to Hollywood matinee idols. Dinah Washington recorded the song in 1952 and then again in 1961 with the second version featuring the Quincy Jones Orchestra. The song was re-released in 1992 and made the UK top 50. The ad itself was an homage to a 1962 Burt Lancaster movie. Puts my career in perspective. I once made an ad for a second-hand office furniture warehouse that went out of business 3 days after we aired the commercial. The client was a man so evil, he had hair growing out of every bodily orifice. That whole thing was an homage as well. To stupidity.
I'm mad about a boy. And I know it's stupid to be mad about a boy. I'm so ashamed of it. But must admit, the sleepless nights I've had about the boy. On the silver screen, he melts my foolish heart in every single scene. Although I'm quite aware that here and there are traces of the can about the boy.
So, I mean, that's the same sort of 50s, you know.
So by 1987, 2 years later, Levi's sales were 20 times what they were three years previously.
And it all changed after when they did Mr. Bombastic.
Mr. Bombastic. Mr. Bombastic.
And the proclamation.
I love that ad.
This adds a near certainty for the classic ads from Simpler Times treatment at some time in the future. Shaggy, a claymation hunk getting his gear off, two pigeons shitting themselves, and an old bloke sitting on the toilet before the payoff end frame. Right up our street, genius, with added toilet gags.
Mr. Bombastic! We want some bombastic, romantic, fantastical lover. She call me Mr. Bombastic, Mr. Fantastic. Touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Romantic. Call me Fantastic, touch me on me box, she says I'm Mr. Boom. Boom. I say give me your lovin', y'all your lovin' well good. I want your lovin', I get like you should. I give you your lovin', good. I want your lovin', y'all your member the ooh, you like to.
When she goes down and on the Flying Fox and the lights go zzz, and it says shit hotel. You remember she's at?
And there's a
and the bird does
and
a poo.
The pigeon does a poo. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. And of course, then in 1999, Nick Kamen was replaced by.
Who was replaced by?
Flat Eric.
Oh, yeah.
28 years BBH worked with Levi's.
They're a good client.
And then Levi's asked them to pitch.
Well, you never know what's happening, you know? I mean, maybe the sales went flat, different people. But yeah. They were, you know, the clients were almost as funny characters.
John Hegarty, I know he's a creative, but he's such a fucking suit. So he's all over the internet. Levi's asked them to pitch after 28 years. So, yeah, it may have gone stale. Well, as you say, lots of things happening in the background. And BBH declined to pitch.
But don't pitch.
But John Hegarty's quote was, what a fantastic relationship they had. And I'll never buy any jeans except Levi's.
You couldn't ever wear any other jeans at BBH. They'd send you home. If you wore a different brand in the office, they would send you home. You'd get bollocked.
Well, so yeah, John said he'd never buy another pair of jeans except Levi's.
Right. Not good on him. But yeah, listen, the BBH's policy not to pitch. Creds only. Never, well, never
pitch. That was the original, wasn't it? That was their original thought. Did they keep that through?
It was great. I mean, there was big presentations, but I mean,
so when you worked at BBH, you never did creative pitches?
No.
Fantastic.
Presented different work. I mean, it was just as hard as if you like, but not for us. I guess it was better for us that it wasn't pitches. It was just at least you're presenting different work, you know?
Sure.
Not just sort of random work, you know, it's going to get thrown away. But the Levi's I worked on was for Asia Pacific, which I think was a much bigger market than Europe for the work we did. So it didn't just run in Europe. It had to be particular Southeast Asia, Australia.
Were they very particular about the way things were shot and the way the product was shot? Because it's kind of interesting in this ad, there's like a 1.5 second product shot, or effectively, I guess you'd call it the brand shot. They show the red tab.
Yeah, they show the red tab in every ad.
And they show the brand, the leather brand patch when he takes the belt off.
That's some of the brand patch. No, I didn't, but every ad has to show the red tab because they own that red tab.
Mm.
An unnamed celebrity who was who'd been on holiday in Hawaii before we used her, and she couldn't fit in the jeans very well. So in the bum shot we were following, she didn't look great. So we actually overnight.
Did you have to find a bum?
We went to a casting, and it was like propaganda film was amazing. It was like every crazy dream. There was just a row of girls facing the wall, and we were going number one, number two, which one? And to this day, that actress doesn't know it wasn't a bum in the head.
Oh, really?
Mm. So yeah, always show the red tab. And funny enough, yeah, American sailors, soldiers. They're in a photo in a phone booth, and he's kissing. There's always the donuts, the cops. Yeah, it was a good client, or it is a good client, probably. Someone who does the work now.
I don't know, but they need sacking, don't they? Because Levi's maybe not in the rest of the world, but in Australia, they've certainly gone the way that same route that you were talking about with Calvin Klein.
They
have an outlet. They have an outlet shop down at the shopping centre.
Yeah, right? I mean, but the thing is, they start to do canvas sneakers and like jackets and t-shirts, but it's fine for jeans, you know. But I say it's a much much bigger market in the US with Dockers and everything.
And jeans have become very, very serious business now, making jeans, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, the provenance of the denim, Japanese selvage denim apparently is the best denim in the world.
So
it's not like the old days where Nick got his gear off and sales went up 800%. Do you want to give it some scores on the doors?
Well, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be really difficult. Let's give us a score for the brand.
Well, it certainly wasn't Wrangler, and it definitely wasn't Pepe. It's Levi's. I mean, it's not only established a brand, it established a whole category, didn't it, really?
It kind of, it also, from a technical point of view, falls into that BBH thing where you don't, and it's weird to call it a BBH thing, but it didn't really happen before then, where you get kind of halfway through the ad and you're still not really sure what the product is the first time you see it.
Because you're watching almost a bit of entertainment, right?
Exactly.
So you don't watch a movie and go, oh, what are you doing now?
It's like a mini film, which was always Hegarty's thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like you're not gonna engage with it unless you're entertained first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And the first time you see it, really you don't know what the brand is, you don't know what the product is.
It looks like you just stepped into a movie.
But by the time you get to the end, you know exactly what it is.
I mean, that's another point. How many ads looked like they were 30 seconds from a film? Okay, 5.
Bing. Talent. Could anybody else have done that?
Oh, well, it's hard to say. Maybe one of the Kemp brothers. But, you know, I don't know.
Even the Kemp boys weren't as pretty as Nick, were they?
No.
But I guess the question is, could you have taken a celebrity and done it? So, you know, I don't know who the equivalent of Brad Pitt was, say, in 1986, but would Brad Pitt have made that?
Well, they did use Brad Pitt, didn't they?
BBH, apparently, were the first people ever to cast Brad Pitt in anything.
That's right, because he does it with no ego. You don't see him and think, oh, what a wanker, you know? It does, I think. So, I don't know where he came from, but the point is, it's him, and it couldn't change.
Yeah.
You know, it couldn't be anyone else now. It just look odd. So, talent, I reckon, is definitely worth a 5, especially because everyone says he was such a nice bloke.
Craft. That ad is beautifully shot, isn't it?
It is.
That could be a Scorsese movie. It could be.
There's a few things that feel a little bit contrived. You know, like I don't want that kid to have a twin. It's like, oh, why'd you have to put something like that in? You know, it's like quite believable to that point.
It's like
Bazooka
Joe moment, though, isn't it?
But the bubblegum was great and stuff. And it's like, oh, why'd you have to? And suddenly I'm looking at the twin now. And like, so is he, right? Because he does a double take at them. And it sort of takes you out of the moment. I think that was the only thing that let it down. But I think it's 4.9. And that's only because of the twin. But I love the fact that the mother's not interested and she's sort of, you know, she's got like fag lips and she like hasn't washed her hair for and she's like, oh, stop it. So she's the only one that's not really interested in him, I think, yeah. But it would have been perfect without the twin, but there you go.
It's interesting that one of the things about shooting an ad which is not contemporary, so this one, let's say it's shot in the 60s, beautifully cinematic in the way that it's executed. It doesn't really age, does it? When you look at it now,
no.
It looks...
Well, it's shot on film, like most of the... You know, yep. That's why it's all soft. So it hasn't gone through the generation of technology where you say, oh, look, that's HD. Oh, look, that's XHD. Yeah. Oh, look, that's 4K. So it's...
But you don't look at it and say, oh, look at the shoulders. Look at the shoulder pads. No.
Except for the key things like, you know, the weird white sunglasses that girl's got on, which, you know, says 50s or 60s American, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 4.9.
Creatively, what are you going to give that out of 5?
That's difficult, isn't it? I mean, after all of that, you go, okay, it's actually, you know, if you wrote it in...
I tell you what, before you give me the score, let me tell you what I think the problem was. So John Hegarty was faced with this problem, wasn't he? Or BBH were faced with the problem where the client wanted to link it to America, but they couldn't link it to contemporary America because of the Ronald Reagan cruise missiles, Margaret Thatcher bullshit. So... That was a set of artificial parameters that they had to work with.
So just pause that second. Do you mind? Sorry.
Okay.
At this point, Tones goes off in search of 1985 and returns with a notebook that appears to be full of sketches of Jennifer Love Hewitt's arse.
Oh, there you go. You love this.
So these are the notes that you took of your meeting with John Hegarty on when, sorry?
Go through my diary and have a look. Let's have a look. Got my glasses down.
Sorry, what's the relevance here? I was trying to contextualise the brief a little bit.
I know, I'm sorry, and that's what I mean. I was just looking for my notes on Levi's because it had all the brand pillars. Sorry, yes, don't let me distract you. So
in retrospect, it seems really obvious to set it creatively in the 60s, but actually working your way towards that would have been quite difficult, I think, because it's not very often that going backwards in time, unless you're creating a real heritage brand, it's not very often that going backwards in time works. It's very difficult to make the past cool.
Oh, I don't know.
Really? I mean, isn't the idea of, you know, the epitome of cool is in front of whatever is trending, right?
Well, yeah, but that's why these brand pillars are really important. You can't be in front of something if you're going to be authentic. I mean, you can sort of. You can be original, I suppose, but you can't have tradition and substance and be new, right? So, obviously, things like whiskey ads, you talk about having a heritage. If you're an airline ad, you want to say technologically advanced because nobody wants to fly an old plane. But if you went back like Coca-Cola would, right? They invented Santa Claus, basically, right? The big... yes. Well, they did, right?
Yeah.
So they went back, you know, and pulled on that sort of warm feeling and the heritage and whatever. They don't sell their bottling plants and the saccharine they use in there. So it's about having that. They own it. So the same way Levi's own jeans.
Okay, give us a figure for the creative then.
So I was going to say black and white. If you saw it in raw text, you go, guy walks in laundry, takes his, you know. But it's got to be 4.9. Because without that, it's nothing, is it? Well, nothing, darling.
Well, that's an easy add up. That's pretty easy. A 5 of 5 and 2 4.9s gives us 19.8.
Is that the highest? Because it should be. It feels like it should be.
It's very close.
We might need to massage those figures back at the office. Because this really should be at the top, really.
I think it should be. Even though I love Flat Eric,
yeah, but this is way better than Flat Eric.
This is a classic.
You might not have anyone read you this. Yeah, I mean, it's head and shoulders above. All right, brilliant. So
that was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed
took
that.
Took him to the cleaners.
I don't think we would have done that ad if Nick Kamen hadn't died.
No.
So that's our little tribute to Nick Kamen.
Yeah, he did a grand job.
You did?
Good on you, Nick.
That was pretty much his career, by the way, after that.
Well, he had that song, didn't he?
He had the one top 10 song that Madonna wrote for him. Apparently, Madonna had a bit of a crush, a bit of a pass.
Did he appear in a sex book? The big aluminium book?
Don't know.
All right.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Good on you.
Another classic ad from simpler times. Thanks very much, Tones.
Fingers, Stephen.
Bum, 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 bum. Bing, 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 bing. Fade out.
There you have it. Thanks for listening through to the end. I think we can all agree that that's enough fawning over BBH and Sir John, for a little while at least. Just before we go, I'd like to take this opportunity to deliver a short personal message, and the recipient knows who she is. If I do make you breakfast in bed again, at any time in the future, and it's not guaranteed that I will, just a simple thank you will suffice. None of this, how did you get in the house, bullshit. Ta-ra for now.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.